This is episode 339 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, July the 4th, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
So how technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, I'm Andrew McComb and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. As Australia's national broadcaster, the ABC, starts its 80th year, Google, the 16-year-old search engine giant, launched a new social network option called Google Plus to the screams and chorus of recluses the world over of, oh no, not another one. With Google's equivalent of Vista, the now-defunct Wave, but a distant memory, the world's largest internet company has brought all of its existing facilities and services into the one new social networking site, which functions in a very similar manner to Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook. Google Plus seems to have taken all the best bits of Facebook and added services like Picasa, a photo storage and sharing app, to streamline the process of sharing photos with friends. In Google Plus, the Facebook wall has been replaced with a stream, and your friends become a circle, as in a circle of friends. As with life, you can have many circles of friends. Each circle has its own stream, allowing targeted messaging amongst friends. After all, the hockey team doesn't need to know what you're about to do in your family's night out. The bottom line is that if you know Facebook, Google Plus is a very easy transition. It's just new names for features you're used to in Facebook. According to the Google sales pitch and quoting from their Google Plus site, sharing is a huge part of the web, a part that Google thinks could be a lot simpler. That's why they've been working on adding a few new things to Google to make connecting with people on the web more like connecting with them in the real world. They finish up by saying that they hope that we like what they've cooked up so far and to stay tuned because there's more to come. So here we go again. Just as privacy concerns with Facebook and all social networking sites in general start to abate, the new kid on the block will no doubt stir it all up again, and there'll be many parallels to draw and feuds to be had. Interestingly though, there's been no mention of Google Plus being a Facebook killer. So is that in itself an omen? Will one third of the world's population jump ship? Is there enough room on the planet for two all-encompassing social networks? Fortunately, things of an internet nature move very quickly, so I don't think we'll have long to wait to find out to see if the last one to leave Facebook puts out the cat.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
The wave has receded but surfs up with Google+. Apple responds to video editors grumbling over Final Cut Pro. Microsoft's rules of Mango for developers, you don't talk about Mango. iPhone is the number one selling phone in Australia, but for how much longer? And Mark Zuckerberg says Facebook plans an awesome launch this week. First up though, here's this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio news desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Google launches Google Plus. Apple's iPhone sales soar 13% in this year's first quarter. Fair Work Australia finds an employee was unfairly dismissed for alleged internet abuse. A Californian law prohibiting the sale of violent video games is repealed. And mathematicians debate the future of pi. Welcome to Tech Talk News. In a long-anticipated return to the world of social media, Google last week launched its own communications and collaboration platform, Google+. In an undisguised frontal attack at the popular Facebook social network, Google+ has now been opened to beta testers and developers. It's not the first time that Google has attempted to launch its own social network. The much-hyped Google Wave was unceremoniously retired in August 2010 after just over 12 months of tinkering, and Google found itself in hot water with with Buzz in February last year after publicly revealing users' personal contact lists without permission. But social analysts believe Google Plus might have what it takes to give the Facebook stalwart a real run for its money. Google Plus employs a new concept of circles, which are collections of friends and colleagues that resemble real-life social groups. Circles allow users to selectively share information with specific groups rather than sharing information with all friends at once. Google Plus also includes text chat, audio, video and web conferencing as standard. Google says that Plus is still in a limited trial mode and has a few rough edges. Google Senior Vice President of Engineering, Vic Gundotra, asked whether he expected people to switch from Facebook to Google Plus, said that people may decide to use both. Facebook leads the global social media networking pack with nearly 750 million users, including 500 million active users, followed by LinkedIn, Twitter, and MySpace with 30 million odd users. Google shares closed at just over $506 last week. To other news, market research firm IDC says that Apple has taken the lead in Australian mobile sales. Thanks to the success of its popular iPhone handset, Apple products accounted for almost a third of total sales in the first quarter of 2011. But according to IT research group Gartner, it was Nokia head and shoulders above the rest for the same period internationally, with a 25% share of all handset sales. Samsung was number two with 16%, LG was third with just under 6%, and Apple was trailing in fourth place with just under 4%. Back home, Apple's apparent stranglehold on the market shows no sign of letting up, although analysts believe Apple will experience a slight dip in Q3 this year, ahead of the new iPhone model expected in Q4. Android-powered handsets hold second place in the local market with 30% share, while Symbian has dropped to third place with 22% market share. A recent decision by Fair Work Australia has found that a landscape architect had been unfairly dismissed after allegedly abusing internet and social media during work hours. Mr. Richard O'Connor was sacked for allegedly engaging in more than 3,000 transactions on a chat line during work time over a period of 5 years. Mr. O'Connor's employer accused him of accepting wages and not undertaking the work, but instead engaging in personal activities. But Fair Work Australia Commissioner Ms. Anne Gooley said neither party had provided independent evidence about Mr. O'Connor's alleged internet usage. She added that while excessive use of social media at work may justify dismissal, Mr. O'Connor had not been given an opportunity by his employer to respond to the allegation. The employer was ordered to pay Mr. O'Connor $171 in lost wages, less applicable taxation. A Californian law governing the sale of violent video games to children has been repealed over concerns that it violated the principle of free speech. The US Supreme Court last week said that parents and the gaming industry should determine what games children are able to buy and play. The law, enacted in 2005, affected a number of games which are widely available in Australia, including Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and Resident Evil. In the absence of an R18 plus rating for video games in Australia, these titles all carry MA 15 plus classifications. The video games industry welcomed the decision, which has been described as consistent with the court's long-standing protection of First Amendment rights guaranteeing free speech. A Washington Post editorial described the decision as misguided and making no sense, while the Los Angeles Times welcomed the ruling as bolstering First Amendment protections. And the relationship between a circle's diameter and its circumference may soon be redefined. Mathematicians say the long-held constant pi, which is 3.14159 and continues on for hundreds of decimal places without recurring, may soon be old-fashioned. Tau is the number you get when you use the circle's radius instead, and mathematical dissidents want pi replaced by tau as the circle constant. On Tuesday last week, International Tau Day, scholars in Adelaide debated the prospective demise of the constant pi. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Apple have certainly done some interesting things in their time, and none so than what they've done in the last week.
You just have to keep saying, no, I don't want to upgrade now. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll just never get to play anything.
Oh, is it? Graham. Remember last week we talked about the flux capacitor?
I'm going to get my own theme music if it kills me.
That's an insightful comment.
I'm going to do Foley as well.
Lolsec have retired.
So they say.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather stick a fork in my eye than have to do that again.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I've come
come to the conclusion that it's best to take a best of breed approach to home entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Dr. Ron, you're pushing buttons again. It scares me when you push buttons in the studio.
Already disgruntled distributed IT customers have now had this second blow.
I've had no sleep the last two nights playing with it.
Let's not get too technical.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. And that was designed by Andrew, so how hard can it be?
Correct, it's not hard. Oh.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio, today's edition. And you need to have your notebook, laptop, or internet-connected device handy at some stage when we go through the new Google Plus or Plus Google. Dr. Ron, good evening. I was very distraught to hear your news report this evening that Pi's on the out. What is going on? What is it against Pi that some people have?
I need to say that I plus one your endorsement of Google Plus, and we'll talk about that a little bit later this week, won't we?
This week? What's wrong with today?
This week's episode, I mean.
Oh, this week's episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Now, you asked me a question, and I completely ignored the question.
Yes. What have you got against Pi, or what have they got against Pi? I find that ever since I was, that old, Pi has always been it. As a, 3.141, yada, yada, yada.
22 over 7.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's all you have to remember.
That's the circumference of a circle.
Well,
what is it now? Some new fandangled thing that they've decided to throw into the mix. Well, this is going to upset textbooks going back to the millennium.
It is. It's the pi is the relationship or the constant between a circle's diameter and its circumference. But there are some mathematicians who are saying we shouldn't have that pi as that constant. What we should be doing is defining it by the relationship between a circle's diameter and its radius. They're making a subtle distinction there, and they're saying that the other thing...
Subtle. What are they calling it? What was
tau,
the word?
T-A-U.
Tau. Ah, tau.
And the mathematicians had an international tau day last week, and they were debating the merits of tau over pi.
Everyone's gone quiet.
Okay, well, hang on a minute.
How about, ladies and gentlemen, there we go. The first bite in for the evening from Graham. Good evening, Graham Culligan.
Good evening, Andrew.
Off you go. Now, wait a minute.
Isn't tau just... hang on, tau is just going to be half pi. It's going to be pi over 2.
Yes, tau is going to be pi over 2.
So what's the point?
Well,
it's the same number.
There were mathematicians from the world over, I think, at the University of Adelaide last week, and they were debating this at length.
But if it's just a simple multiple of another constant, then what's the point? Why do we need it? It's a constant. It's
they think tau is moving with the times. It's what we need to do. We need to use tau instead of pi.
That is really going to upset a lot of people's... mathematicians. Exactly. I agree with you, Graham.
It's like...
and the sign...
like the government departments that just change their name for no good reason and then have to reprint everything.
Yes.
No. Go away.
and the sign is like a pi sign. I don't know what the Greek letter is called, but it's
called pi.
Pi. It is called pi.
But that, the pi, I mean.
See, it's been around for that long.
But it's missing a leg, so it's like a pie with one leg.
You're making me hungry.
A pie with one leg. Talking Speaking of pies, there's the next person. She sounded like this during the course of last week. She wasn't sounding too flash at all.
No, I wasn't.
You got to cook the food, Lena. Hello, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I could imagine. Dressed in your lovely red scarf this evening. Glowing endorsement as you walked in the studio this evening because it's very, very chilly in Melbourne today where we're coming live this week. We've got lots of changes coming in the radio show too. Have you told everyone, Dr. Ron, about the fact that we're going aeronautical, spatial, mobile on this radio program?
I'm not sure if I've told everybody, but I should make the announcement now. We put some forum posts up. During the week, didn't we? And if you'd like to participate in the show after the fact, forum.techtalkradio.com.au is where we put all our show notes and all our exciting announcements. And the exciting announcement for this previous week was that Tech Talk Radio will be joining the Community Radio Network.
Mm.
What's the Community Radio Network, I hear you
What's
ask?
The Community Radio
What's
Network?
The Community Radio Network?
What's the Community Radio Network?
What's the Community Radio Network?
I'm glad you asked. The Community Radio Network is a program distribution system. What the Community Radio Network does is distribute audio programs to community radio stations around Australia, and they do this via a satellite feed. And there are about...
What's wrong with the internet thingy?
Well, there's some places where the internet just doesn't get, especially where you have community radios that are rural, right out in the middle of the bush. You might have a community radio station, and what they do is set up some satellite receiving equipment, and they can access content on the Community Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we've been lucky enough... to secure ourselves a time slot.
Yeah, they caught us, you mean.
On the on the CRN. Yep. So that means that there's about 150 member stations at the moment. So each of those member stations will have access to Tech Talk Radio where they don't have access to it at the moment.
Yeah, so you might hear us in a supermarket near you in Bathurst or...
Well, it could be anywhere. It could Dubbo be anywhere in... I mean, it's targeted, I think, at the rural stations.
It is.
Where they don't otherwise have, as you say, access to internet, and they can't get content easily. So
we're in Katherine. All right, Katherine. 8KTR.
8KTR. Yeah, yep. Hello to everybody in Katherine who's
cabby drivers.
Yes. Now, we're going to be...
If you're listening to us on the repeat, you've probably heard this before.
There might be some people that...
And if you're not, you probably will again.
Yes.
There might be some people that get Tech Talk Radio at the moment, but they have to download it, or it's a bit of a pain for them to get however they get it. But they do have access to the community radio network, and that might be much, much, much easier for the station managers to actually get the program and put it to air.
Yeah.
So
but it'll be a cut-down version. It's only an hour.
It'll be a cut-down version, a special one-hour version.
It'll be the best bits.
It will be the best bits, absolutely. We're going to take out all the ums and ahs and things like that.
Yeah, and that goes real quick when you do that. Have you
it
noticed?
Does, yeah. You can get a two-hour show down to an hour quite easily. Friday, the 5th of August, is the first date that we're going to be available on the CRN. So if you're a program manager at a community station and you're interested, have a look at the new schedule for August. And that's going to be for 13 weeks initially.
Exciting news for
yeah,
us.
It's very good.
All right.
More
now,
information on the forum.
The correspondence that needs to be, because there was plenty of it. I printed it out and promptly left it in the printer as I came up to the studio tonight. Haven't we all done that before?
Absolutely.
I got up here and I was, damn, I hope Dr. Ron printed it out. But fortunately, he has saved the day for us again.
I broke into your house after you left,
you
grabbed it off the
playing
printer.
Playing with those things, they... Leave them alone.
I'm looking, I'm checking, I'm double checking, I'm being diligent. Graham would approve.
I lights.
Do, yes.
Okay. So shiny.
Well, except that sometimes when you move them, they go crackle, crackle, crackle.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a shame. If
hey, speaking of crackle, did you know that Microsoft's bringing out something a little thinner?
What's Microsoft bringing out?
A new
thinner?
Thin, light version of Windows 7, but we'll talk about that shortly too.
Okay.
Windows 7 light.
Thin.
Windows 7 thin.
Thin.
That's a different concept, yes.
It is.
I think I know what Andrew's getting at.
Yeah, do you? Oh, good.
We have... Lena doesn't.
For the first time in a while.
We have...
Lena's still working out our Twitter conversation from the other day, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah,
yeah,
she
broke my brain a little
she
bit.
She hash nerded us.
I did.
I know.
How
we got,
rude.
We got the nerd alert
we
on Twitter.
We got hash nerded on Twitter.
A drive-by nerding.
Which was very... That was quite unnecessary. I felt quite put out. Now...
Certainly entertained a few. We got some instant DMs, direct messages.
We did. People, you can follow us on Twitter as well if you're interested.
Yeah.
Tech Talk Radio homepage.
Game.
At your own risk.
All the links are there. We've got some follow-ups from last week. Firstly, some apologies. We said that Audio Sound Booth had replaced Audition. Well, that was partly correct. It had replaced Audition, but Adobe saw the error of their ways and have dumped Sound Booth and are now putting their investing their time and efforts back into Audition.
They have.
Which is good news.
We got an email. Who was that from? Have you got that person who sent us that email?
Yeah, I might have.
Because that's what I printed out and left on the printer at home.
Oh, okay.
You know who you are. Sorry about that.
No, I'll find it.
But yes, Soundbooth is a audio... Soundbooth came out with CS5, Adobe's audio editing software.
It was Amir.
To howls of protest about the fact they took all the things out, not akin to what...
CS5 is Creative Suite 5, so it's what you buy when you want the whole swag of Adobe products. So
and that comes bundled, is it? Because you know how they bundle things.
Yeah, so if you're a content provider and create a whole lot of different things, and you create graphics and videos and audio and all kinds of things that go together, and author DVDs probably, and all that kind of stuff.
That's it.
And feel like taking out a mortgage to buy it. Then.
That's the thing with the Adobe Suite. You do need to be commercially viably employed to do that sort of thing. Mm. But yes, the new version CS5.5 now comes with Audition CS5.5, which is good. And we were tinkering with the trial version in the office, and you can do some pretty amazing things compared to the old version. So it's probably well worth the buy. Okay, take note, Apple.
Take note. Amir said, hi guys, during your previous show, Andrew mentioned that Apple's downgrading the Final Cut in its new version is like the Adobe changing its Audition to the less featured Sound Booth. Whereas these two are separate products, and Audition has been even recently upgraded to CS5.5, as we were saying. In fact, we used to use Audition before Sound Booth, and the only part of it we really used was noise reduction and some basic sound quality improvement stuff, and our type of usage is what Adobe is probably targeting with the Sound Booth.
Maybe.
The Sound Booth. Another thing about the same topic was that you mentioned Apple's Final Cut Pro X a dozen times, but were reluctant to even say the name of the rival product, referring to it only as the other camp. Good
really?
Luck with your great show. Thanks, Amir.
Well, the other camp is Avid.
There, we said it.
We've
all right?
said it. Yeah.
You're going to have to cut that out of the podcast.
Avid's product is called...
Avid have a few products.
But the main one, the one
which is targeted at industry, which is probably the ubiquitous version of the editing software, is called Media Composer.
Media Composer. That's a name I've heard before.
Yep. Now, you can follow Avid on Twitter. You can visit their website, which is avid.com. And they have been... I was waiting for them to actually come out and make some backhanded remarks, which they did on Twitter during the course of the week since Final Cut has decided to go the way it has. So, yes, there's some interesting changes afoot coming.
It's one of those situations, though, where someone in Avid's position can sit back and sort of just, yeah, not make any comment and, yeah, come out looking just all the more professional for it.
Well, absolutely. So, look, there's been... frequently asked questions published by Apple about Final Cut Pro, and they're saying that, yes, certain features have been taken out. They may make a return down the track, but the bottom line is that there are a few issues with the software. If you weren't listening last week, Avid, which is the competition to Apple, made some interesting comments on the social networking this week about their products, but it basically because Apple brought out Final Cut Pro X, which was... a program which was targeted at professionals, which probably is no longer. So
yeah, and the thing is that they came out with their frequently asked questions and said, yeah, maybe they'll put some content back in sometime and some added features may
return. No promises.
Exactly, and that doesn't cut it in the professional market. That works. That kind of speculation and vagueness works great in the domestic
But aren't they changing to go to domestic? Like, isn't that but that's, sort of
yeah,
what they're doing?
This is what I'm saying.
They're, well, see, they had their own...
It's only going to further alienate the professional users that are the ones that are really upset about this.
They only had a professional version, really, which was Final Cut Pro, which has now gone the way of Final Cut X. And then they had iMovie, which was probably the domestic version. And jokingly now, in the industry, iMovie or Final Cut Pro has been called iMovie Pro. So anyway, that's the upshot of what's going on there at the moment, but still nothing really concrete from Apple about what's going on.
ATC, a Telstra colleague via email, says Telstra used to provide the emergency 000 service.
What, have they moved on?
But now that Telstra is a public company and 000 doesn't generate any revenue, Telstra will be absolved of its existing obligation to provide 000 services.
Really?
E.g. operators and call centres. There was an announcement on the 23rd of June about the $11 billion NBN and the agreement between the Australian government and Telstra. It wasn't widely reported, but the government announced more details about its proposal to establish a new Universal Service Obligation Company, a USO Co, if you will, to come into operation from the 1st of July next year. USO Co will now be known as the Telecommunications Universal Services Management Agency, TUSMA, T-U-S-M-A. And I heard Stephen Conroy refer to this very briefly in the presser when they were talking about the agreement between the government and Telstra. TUSMA will be responsible for the management of Telstra's existing universal service obligation and other public interest services such as public alarms and traffic signals. However, Telstra will still perform a significant role in 000. The new agreements will mean the current obligation that requires Telstra to provide a fixed line to every home in Australia will be handed to either NBN Co or TUSMA. Amongst other things, TUSMA will be responsible for any funding required to upgrade Telstra systems to ensure the quality of service in the delivery of 000 calls. Telstra will be paid to do three things. One, ensure the delivery of standard telephone services to the 7% of Australians not covered by the NBN. Two, provide reasonable payphone access to all Australians. And three, deliver emergency 000 calls to police, fire and ambulance services, all this at the cost of hundreds and hundreds of million dollars a year. The delivery of emergency 000 calls to the emergency services will go to tender within the next 5 years. More soon. Cheers, ATC.
Thanks, ATC. Interesting
developments
there. Really,
so they're going to put out a tender for the handling of 000 calls.
Oh, can't get any worse, can it?
What are you suggesting? Telstra doesn't do a good job.
No, I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, moving on.
GJMCN via email says, guys, just listening to the latest podcast, I was in MSY North Melbourne. MSY is a local
computer shop, isn't it?
Computer shop
here. They sell bits.
They do. And they have 2 terabit Western Digital Hub devices, because we were talking about that last week, the WD hubs. Also, have a look at Costco. They have a sweet-looking Microsoft wireless keyboard. It could be used with a small netbook running VLC and a media browser. And though I don't have one, Costco also has a $40 attachment to iPhones that works on the Logitech model. If that allowed usage of iProduct keyboards, this would also be good for my Panasonic YouTube Picasa widgets. I don't remember my passwords because I killed the power switches. Regards, GJ. We've got another apology to make, which follows on from what GJ was saying.
Yes.
And that is when we said last week that you can't use a keyboard on the Western Digital WDTV Lives. Andrew via Twitter says you can use a keyboard on the WDTV Live. Use a Microsoft.
Wasn't me. It was
no, another Andrew. I use a Microsoft USB keyboard on mine, NP.
Yeah.
No problems.
Well, that's good because it's a dog of an interface, let me tell you.
Using the remote control.
Oh, if you ever tried surfing anything on your WDTV Live, apart from click, click, point when you want to watch a movie.
That's not unique to the WDTV Live. Trying to enter text using a remote control is
a shocker.
Is always shocking on any device.
But you look at the big devices such as the PS3 and those, and you can plug a keyboard into them and away you go. And
apparently you can in your WDTV Live. It's never occurred to me to plug a keyboard into my WDTV.
Into one of the USB ports.
No.
But as you're just saying in that report, you just go and grab yourself a wireless keyboard, stick your dongle into your WDTV Live and sit on the couch and type away.
Off you go.
Watch that pen there, Dr. Ron. It's getting very close to your personal thing and around your neck.
Oh, sorry. I've got a pen around my neck and I'm about to perform auto-tracheotomize myself or something. I think that's even a real word.
I hate when that happens.
Does it happen often?
If I had a dollar.
I know. I hear what you're saying. Now, we also have feedback from Damo the Geek. Damo via the contact form
Hello,
says...
Hello, Damo.
Hi, guys. Hi,
probably,
Damo.
Probably in the chat, is he?
Knowing Graham's dispassion for toolbars...
Oh, I saw this. This is the one I left in the
printer. Stumbled over this one tonight, and I'm turning my netbook towards Graham, and I'm going to post a link in the chat room shortly.
I've seen it. It's horrible.
I thought, if nothing else, I thought it would register a few extra notches on the blood pressure scale. Sorry, Graham, he says in brackets. Image of browser suffering toolbar overload attached.
He's not sorry at all.
It burns.
Is that someone to get him going? Fire him up?
That's what it is. Good. He's put a link there to a screenshot of a web browser which has toolbars 8 levels deep below the title bar of the browser.
Is there any space left to actually see the web?
No, half the screen's taken up with toolbars.
Oh, dear.
And last but not least, Selig on the TTR web forum.
Several of those toolbars are known spyware and adware and horrible things.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That top one is in particular.
My web search, that one. Cursor Mania, Smiley Central.
Smiley Central,
My Fun Cards.
Yep.
Good night, Mini-Me.
Quick Search, F3, Search Web, Look for Maps. Look at all the search boxes. That's just...
Yeah, do you know... You know how much spam you get. You know how much we hate getting spam.
I do.
It's people like that user of that PC that cause it all.
There's the blood pressure.
Well done, whoever sent that
Damo.
Email. You've done it. Well,
mission,
Damo.
Mission accomplished.
Correct. Ka-ching. Coffee mug on the way.
And last but not least, Salig on the web forum says, hi all. Here's a tip for YouTube searching on your Bravia internet TV.
Oh, good.
Anyone who's tried knows how painful it is to use the virtual keyboard, which is what we're just talking about.
Yes.
Not only bad for WAF, but also bad HAF.
HAF. There's a new acronym. What's HAF. That one?
The opposite of WIFE, I suppose.
Husband.
Acceptability factor.
Really?
And Lena wanted to just to have a generic PAF.
PAF, partner acceptability factor, works. Or ditch person.
Ditch the so WAF and the WAF, HAF. For
WAF, HAF and
the
PAF.
No, ditch the WAF and the HAF for the PAF. Just log on to YouTube, says Sally.
Why would
Selig.
People want to take this program? They're doing their heads in.
Just log on to YouTube on the TV and on your Wi-Fi connected smartphone, netbook or similar, on the other device, browse for the videos, add them to your favourites in YouTube, and the videos will be instantly available on your television.
What a good idea.
Adding 15 extra steps to the process really helps. Thanks for that. That's really good.
No, I think that's a good idea,
Sally. I think I just watch them while I'm on my PC and back of the TV.
Back of the TV. The process is made even simpler, he says, by the fact the TV will remember your account login details next time. Sony appears to have realised the shortcomings for their internet browsing experience.
Keep going, Sony.
Remedying that with the full keyboard remote available on new TVs in the United States of America. Unfortunately, from what I've read, most existing Bravia TVs cannot be upgraded to use the new keyboard.
And
did you say the United States of America?
I said the United States.
Yeah, happy birthday to them, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay. For those of you, you mentioned Sony in the last sentence there. I just thought I might add that magnetic tape and discs are now starting to trickle out of Japan again, because that was where Sony and a few other of the major manufacturers had their basic primary manufacturing places for discs, like mini DV tapes and stuff like that. And so we're starting to see
them anymore
coming back onto the market. Oh, the discs we do.
What do we need?
Oh, please. I need my XD cam.
All right.
I'm sick of recycling them.
Don't we put anything on flash memory these days?
Yeah, we do, but it ends up...
SSD hard drives. Yeah. Don't need a hard drive in your machine anymore.
No, that's true. That's true.
That's all correspondence, Andrew. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Well, I suppose we should start off with the big news of the week. Have you played with Google Plus yet? Obviously, there's Dr. Ron and I have been quite active in that forum of late. We feel that we needed to check it out. And I guess initial reaction is I'm quite impressed with it if you compare it to Facebook. I was a late bloomer on Facebook because Dr. Ron started an account for me, so I figured I'd better get in there and start using it.
Have you packed the bag yourself? Yeah. No.
Started posting on his behalf.
Yep.
Yes, yes. And, of course, obviously Google has now got its finger in the social networking pie, otherwise known as Plus, and off to a good start. Now, from face value, if you're a Facebooker, I personally don't think the transition would be too hard because it's just similar stuff, different names. If you're a Twitter person, it's a different sort of thing, but who knows? Dr. Ron, your initial thoughts when you first logged in and started going, oh, look, you can do this.
My initial thoughts were, this is nice. This is very, very nice interface. Facebook should be worried. LinkedIn should be worried. I don't think Twitter's got anything to worry about at the moment. Twitter is a very different model. It's a micro-blogging service. It's not what Google Plus is designed to be. Google Plus is very much a Facebook-esque interface. So you have a wall, you have status updates, you have friends. But the whole concept of security and their approach to security and who sees what is very different to Facebook. They have this concept of circles where you add people, friends,
like a circle of friends.
Contractually, you know, obligated guests and things like that.
You mean your wife.
Yeah, well, yeah. You have your circle of friends or you have a number of different circles. And when you actually make a post, you can nominate which circles see that post.
So why is it called Plus if it's all about circles? There's no circles in a plus sign.
No, there can be. You could draw a circle around the plus sign if you wanted
to.
There's circles in Google. There's two circles. A circle in the lowercase g.
Right, guys, if you open up your browser and head off to plus.google.com.
Yeah, I did that.
If you've got an account, if you've got a Gmail account, it's just log in using that Gmail information.
And I've got a notification that says Matthew him that I know and Ken somebody of I've never heard of and Ron over here.
Yeah.
And one other, and it's not even going to tell me who it is, added you on Google Plus.
It fills up the top line, I think. Yeah. Just click on it, it'll tell you who it is.
I can't figure out
who's
this
person. Do anyone know who that person is?
No.
It's good for radio.
No, sorry. I don't want to say his name in case it's somebody that I shouldn't be talking about.
Okay.
I can't see it from here. I'll have a look in a minute.
The other thing to reiterate is that it is beta, which means it's still under test, and Google have said themselves...
Just keep in mind that the Gmail was beta for 10 years too.
Yeah, that's true. It's they've said it's a bit rough around the edges. Based on Google's comments, I'd expect newer versions to be made available soon and for general availability to be made soon.
Oh, the one other was Andrew McComb.
You were one other. Okay, that's good. You're here on mine. Don't you worry about that. Anyway, you've got circles of friends or circles, and they give you five default ones when you log in. So when you come up there, there's a little icon top and center that says circles. So if you click your circles button, it should show you all your different circles. Now, if you've got a Gmail account or any other linked Google accounts, it'll put all the contacts and stuff like that and even try and put photos in the face, in the icons and stuff like that. Now, it's just a simple matter of beneath that, you'll have, I think, the five default circles. Now, we've created our own. Well, I've created some Tech Talk circles and colleague circles and things like that.
Yeah,
so,
family and stuff.
And so what happens is once you've created those circles, you can actually look at Facebook
analogy,
look at the wall for that particular circle. So when you log in and you click on...
Sorry, got the laugh circles already. Have walls. Yeah, good.
Well, this is the difference. It's pluses don't have Facebooks either. So if you log into Facebook and you look at your wall, you see everything on the wall, right?
Yeah.
But in Plus, you have circles, and you can actually split your wall down into those groups of people, which is very good. And you can post there, and not everyone sees it. Only those people in the circle see it.
That's handy.
See, I actually like this. This is one of the things I don't like about Facebook. So, yeah, that everybody sees everything, and you can't have your different... Your worlds collide. Worlds collide. I hate when worlds collide.
Me too.
Yep. So it's a very simple way of starting a circle. Like, for example, if you wanted to start a circle which is just your very immediate family, brothers, sisters, mums and dads, and yep. keep it very personal, just drag them all to one of the circles there and create and call it family. And then you can put your photos there. Because one of the great things I like, which Dr. Ron poo-pooed when it first
yeah,
came out.
I've got four things now I hate about
and I thought was really quite, quite nice, is when you do your little happy snaps on your camera phone, you can opt to have it automatically upload.
No, you don't opt to it. It does it by itself. It takes it upon itself to take over your phone and to start sending all the photos up online.
Oh, I definitely don't want that.
Another blood pressure one here.
Ting.
When you first load up the app, there's a big box which you tick or untick. It's hardly opt-in. It's telling you about it. Do you want to do this? You must have been in your normal, click, 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 click. Bang, bang, click, click.
Fast finger Freddy.
It defaults to on.
Fast finger Freddy.
And what's more,
it doesn't default to on.
It does default to on. And when you upgrade the software, it ticks the thing on again.
Settle.
You've got it ticked off. You upgrade the application. It doesn't look at your existing settings. It ticks it on again.
Graham, have you got a hose?
It's all right. I fixed that. Now, I've got a word. I can get a word in here now because I pulled his fader down.
What's that, Ron?
Ron's disappeared. He's off mic.
So funny.
Hello, Ron.
All right, if you're good, I'll push it up halfway. All right.
Feeling a little off mic.
Okay, there we go. Back again.
That's back.
That's there better. But yes, it doesn't foist you in. It doesn't foist you out. It gives you the option as soon as you get, you either tick the box or you don't tick the box to go on. And they, yes, maybe you're right. Maybe it's green to start with and there's a tick there. But nonetheless, it's quite handy because it just uploads your photos into a private spot like you would in Picasa, if you're a Picasa user, which I am. I quite like Picasa. The thing that scares me about Picasa is the facial recognition. Have you seen that? Oh, that's scary.
The new Facebook facial recognition is scary too.
Yeah, the way it sort of categorizes it and puts it into pigeonholes. And, oh, look, I've got 3,625 photos of that one particular child.
Yeah.
And then I've got two photos of that one. And
I'm so glad I'm not in high school right now, aren't you?
Oh, look, it's...
Like,
yes.
Think about it. Think about growing up with all this stuff.
It'd be quite daunting, really, wouldn't it? Yeah. So anyway, there's your circles of friends. And then you can post, you can mix them together, as in they can be completely separate, or you can sort of overlap circles and sort of say, I want to send this post to circle A, B, and C, to these groups of friends. So you might have your family and friends or your work colleagues or whatever you want. And I must admit, I'm quite enjoying it. And the notification system works quite well. And a lot of people are finding their way into my circles all by themselves, which is good. Not uninvited, I might ask.
Yeah, so I've got a screen full of people here who Google's inviting me to drag into circles.
Well, you can. You don't have to.
It's a nice user interface. The way you click and drag.
Andy Bloom's a worry.
I haven't dragged anybody yet.
Click and drag someone on your web browser. It's nice.
It is nice.
I'll drag Ron here to... Oh, no, I'll put him in friends.
Thanks.
So that's your circles. Well, while Graham's figuring out circles over there, I think he's worked it out now, so it didn't take too long.
Can I say a little bit more if I promise not to have my blood pressure go over 180 over 140?
Got my hand on the fader.
I need to be objective and leap to the defence of Facebook, although I don't want to, although it grates. But you can do this with Facebook. It's just that Facebook don't make it easy and it's not intuitive. You can make groups, and when you post something, you can opt which groups are going to see that post, but they don't do it easily, and it's not simple to follow. The way that Google Plus has made itself, it's very, very easy to do, and it's at the forefront of the interaction with Google Plus. You have to take control of the security settings, take it upon yourself to make sure that you know who is in what circle, and who is going to see the post that you're posting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've done a much better job from that point of view. The other things I don't like about it, apart from the first thing I'm not going to mention again because Andrew will pull my fader down, gripe number two was user invitations. I understand it's in beta at the moment, but every time I do something, say if I've invited Lena, and Lena's not a Gmail user at the moment, every time I do something that involves the circle that Lena's in, she gets emails saying...
No, that's wrong.
Is it?
That's wrong. When you do that, you'll notice there's two lines before you hit share. One of them is green line that says, which you can uncheck.
You're right.
That says, don't send it to people who are not part of the plus.
You're right. It's another one that defaults on that you have to default off.
Cross that one on.
Cross that one on.
Next.
You're doing well to deal with all my issues tonight. This is good. It's better than therapy.
The Medicare card at the door, please.
Duplicate contacts. Now, this isn't...
Dupes.
Yeah, this isn't specifically a Google Plus problem, but we've all got duplicate contacts in our contact list, no matter how hard we try to avoid this. I might have an Andrew Work email contact, and I've got an Andrew Work phone number contact. I might have five Andrew McCollums without realizing it.
Can't you put all the five different details in the one contact
yes,
item?
Yes, you can. And and Android does a fantastic job of linking contacts this way. So it says, I've got all these five people, and you hit a link button, and it actively suggests links for you. And you say, yeah, I want Andrew McCollum to be that contact and that one 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 and that Facebook account and everything. So whenever I bring up Andrew McCollum on the phone, it's linked to everything. Now, because my Android contacts are my Google contacts and vice versa, why can't we push this linking straight back into Google Plus? That would be incredibly powerful and incredibly useful. So I've got one Graham Callaghan on the screen or one Andrew McCollum on the screen, and it encompasses everything and pulls it into the circle. That would be nice.
I'm sure they'll roll that sort of stuff out as time goes by. It's a bit like, OMFs and Final Cut, they're essential parts of the system, and I'm sure they'll come in time.
Yeah, yep.
Because after all, it is beta.
It is beta. It's still got a long way to go. The other thing that I got angry about was the application on my phone on Android, which installs in the phone memory. I haven't even got the option of pushing it to the SD card, so it takes up valuable phone memory if that's an issue for you on your handset.
Yep.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's really, really good, and I'm going to persevere, and I would encourage people to have a look at it.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be one of those... I think there will be room for two social networks of this kind on the planet at this stage. I can't see them either disappearing in any great hurry. Getting back to the four main unique things that we have with Plus, obviously we've spoken of Circles, which is your collection of friends. The next thing you have across the top is your profile. Your profile's like your Facebook photo. You get in there, put your pictures in there, and do stuff, private things and settings and the likes. That's all pretty self-explanatory. Your photos, well, as you know, Google owns Picasa, which is the file-sharing photo site, a bit like Flickr and all those sort of things, but it talks seamlessly to your Picasa account.
Yep.
And that's what I mean by if you're happy to have your phone upload your image there, it's great because it's a – you know how we sync our contacts between our phones and our computers? Well, this also syncs your photos between your camera and your computer. That's the way I'm looking at it, and it seems to work quite well. It's all private unless you tell it otherwise, and it starts off default private, I think, too, because all those happy snaps that you upload, the ones with the finger in front of the lens and all those, you don't want to get out anyway. You can just delete off them once it ends up there. A word of warning, though, if you are on a mobile broadband plan and you have that option set, you can burn bandwidth fairly quickly, especially if you're a happy snapper. You could go through many meg.
You've got a 5-megapixel camera in your phone.
Correct.
Yeah.
And up they go. So just be wary of that one.
Google calls the feature instant uploads. That's the settings to look for when you're going through the settings.
Yep. And, of course, the main... best part of the plus thing is the home button, which is the very top left-hand corner there. That takes you to your stream. Now, the stream is the equivalent of the Facebook wall. The home button is all streams mixed together. So you can see all your circles of friends and what they're doing. And if you want to actually drill down into it, you can basically, there's some options appear on the right-hand side, or just click your circles of friends, and then down the bottom there, there's an option that says show stream. And that's really, in its simplistic terms, what it is. I like the graphic user interface. I think it's a lot nicer than the Facebook one. It's quite intuitive. It works with your browser. If you're a Google Chrome user and you're a Google Surfer, I think it works on other browsers too. But you'll notice that in your search results, you now have these plus one things pop up next to your search results, which you can put straight into your plus.
So instead of liking something like you do on Facebook, you
plus one it.
You plus one
it. I don't on Facebook.
Just like on a lot of forums.
I'm capable of liking something without mechanical assistance. Thank you very much.
Facebook's been asked for a long time to have a dislike button because there's stuff that you would like to dislike. But
maybe this will be that.
I would like to dislike like and dislike buttons.
Would you like a minus one?
I think my head just exploded.
Or would you dislike, minus one?
I'm still working on the mechanical issues that he's got over.
What mechanical issues was it?
I'll listen back on the podcast.
Okay.
Put it in the promo. You'll hear it.
Okay. I'm lost.
No, we're talking about Plus.
Yeah.
So, Lena, have you made your way there yet?
I have. I set it up, sort of, and now I don't really know what to do with it. But I just have to really get in there and have a bit of a play and see what
I had this problem with Twitter for about 2 years.
Yeah. I shouldn't keep putting it off.
I've still got this problem with Facebook.
There have been requests, Graham. You should actually go public on your Twitter account.
Oh,
the people who want to follow you.
I know.
People who want you to rant and say things.
Yeah. They'd...
It's your mouthpiece.
You should feel blessed that you have a mouthpiece.
Yes, exactly right.
Think of all the people in the world who would wish to have Twitter. And you're not even using yours. All about the guilt train.
Thanks, Lena.
<That's all right.
laughs> Hang on. How do I take somebody out of my friends?
Out of your circles? Yeah, you click it.
You just click and drag them out. Just drag them out. It's a bit like caveman, cavewoman. You just drag them outside.
Club them.
Club them.
Club them. Club them over the head. You're about to be clubbed over the head, Lena.
Uh-oh.
Proverbially.
Mechanically.
And mechanically.
And mechanically, yes. Oh, well.
There's been some interesting correspondence about the new Plus on a lot of people's blogs and things like that. One I came across during the course of the week. What Google Plus makes abundantly clear is that Twitter's success was a happy accident. While Google Plus was able to bake all of Twitter's current core functions, such as status updates, replies, tweets, shares, photo sharing, etc., into its service at launch, Twitter grew organically. That, at a time, was to Twitter's advantage. Now, however, it's holding the company's growth back, as those conventions that grew out of this are anything but intuitive for newcomers. Indeed, one could argue that everything Twitter has done over the past few months was meant to rein in this chaos. So, and I think I sort of...
But isn't that... Who wrote that? That you were just...
I was just a blogger that I read on the thing, which struck
a chord
with me.
Isn't that missing the point? Isn't Google Circle Plus, what's it called?
Google Circle? Plus.
Google Plus, supposed to be a Facebook replacement, not a Twitter replacement.
Yeah, potentially. But it's the chaos that Twitter has brought in line with 140 characters and making everyone conform and get an act that basically this service has sort of thrown wide open again, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Which I thought was, quite interesting, potentially, because now we're going to have... All those issues that have come and gone with Facebook, privacy issues and this, that, and the other issue and all that sort of stuff is now probably going to surface again in the next little bit.
If you put your photos up on Google+, does Google then own those photos like Facebook does?
I haven't read the legal articles. Mm. Would you like to send an email to Larry and see if he responds?
I might. Yeah? I might. I'll just call him.
Okay. Have you got his number, have you?
Yeah, we go way back. No.
Add him to a circle and click Hangout.
Oh.
Now, that's the other thing which we must try. We haven't tried yet.
Let's not do it now.
No, we won't do it on the radio, but maybe afterwards, the Hangout. Have fun with your circles using your live webcam. Now, I believe this is the Hangout feature is a place where, let's say, for example, you all want to go to the movies, and rather than sort of everyone SMSs and texts and tweets and does all that sort of stuff.
Like a Facebook event.
Everyone can get on there and collaboratively watch in real time. I think this is the Wave function of where Wave sort of ended up in this, where you can... I haven't used it yet. I haven't tried it.
It's probably got Wave underneath somewhere. That somewhere, technology yeah. that was behind Wave is probably used to a large extent with Google+.
Yeah, and I think this is... Well, I haven't tried it yet. That's why I can't really comment on it, but it's designed to be used with webcam. So as you sit there, I can imagine copious thumbnails of friends popping up on your screen from your circles... whilst you all sit there and chat, and it becomes just a big free-for-all, one-for-all, whether it be from a handheld device, a laptop, a desktop, or wherever you might happen to be. So that's the Hangout. So if anyone's tried the Hangout, let us know.
Let us know.
Be fun.
Web developers the world over, we're going, we've got to add plus one buttons beside our post to Facebook, tweet this buttons, and that sort of stuff. So they've got to add another little thing to their sharing interfaces. Yeah, their little sharing plugins.
Yeah.
But that's all right. So if you like an article or a blog post or something on the web, you can click plus one, as well as clicking tweet this. And
the chat is filled with people plus one-ing us right now.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's lovely.
Oh, look at that. Isn't that great? And they're not even on Google+. They're on TikTok chat.
Yeah. We've got plus three.
Yeah. See, now this is the other thing too. You can't actively... Well, I guess you can search. I haven't worked out how to do it because normally you'd search on Twitter... under an email or an alias to try and find somebody. Whereas here, I guess, you have to know their Gmail address or similar.
Or their name.
Well, what a concept in this day of privacy.
I know. It's a bit rich.
No one uses their real name
very
anyway.
Rich.
No, exactly right. So do you reckon it's going to stick with us? I think my gut instinct is that this is only going to grow and it's sort of potentially going to be considerably a large new social blemish on the face of the earth. Don't you agree?
I think it's going to grow. They've got it's a great interface, but they've got a long way to go. Google has got to... Facebook currently has nearly, 750 million users, 500 million of which are active. Now, there aren't going to be 500 million Google Plus users overnight once they make it general availability. So they've got a lot of catching up to do, but I think it's got the potential to...
Well, they've got the details of a lot of people in their system
that's
already.
True. Yeah, that's true. If I was LinkedIn, I'd be worried. If I was Facebook, I'd be looking at it anxiously.
Can I answer a question from a minute or two ago about uploading something into Google Plus?
Yes, Lena asked about who owns the rights to any photographs.
Okay, in terms and conditions here, you retain copyright and any other rights you already hold in content which you submit, post or display on or through the services.
Oh, that's good.
By submitting or posting the content, you give Google a perpetual, irrevocable, worldwide, royalty-free, non-exclusive license to reproduce, adapt, modify, translate, publish, publicly perform, publicly display, and distribute any content which you submit, post, or display through the services.
So if I can translate that, from Google's point of view, it's all care and no responsibility. So and from your point of view, they're yours to keep and no one can copy
You retain them. The copyright, but you're giving them a license to use it any way they like.
They've got a publishing gig. The P as opposed to the C. You know the P in the circle? That one.
Right.
Publishing rights.
I see.
As opposed to C, copyright.
I see.
Yeah. You see. You P. That's the way it works.
Right. So, yes. So you...
Clear?
Yes. Yeah, so you own it, but you're giving... But by putting it on the thing, you give them the right to use it
I
any way
it,
they like for whatever.
Yeah,
it.
It's a bit like musos when they write music. You know, it's the same sort of thing. You know, whoever writes the lyrics owns the rights to the lyrics. It's their song, but they're giving the music company, whether it be Sony, EMI, or any of those big record labels, the rights to publish it, reproduce it, and do with anything how they so see fit.
Yep. Warlock's just posted that in the chat as well. And Primal in the chat says, Mark Zuckerberg's on Google Plus.
He is. Well, why wouldn't
Facebook,
he be?
Facebook
if
founder.
If you've got a competitor that's getting close to your gig, you'd be checking them out, wouldn't you? I would.
I might use a pseudonym.
Would you?
We'll have to create a new Gmail account, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Do that.
MZ.
Zuck Muckerberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Makes Spooner, him sound like he's from space.
So, all right. So watch this space with G+. Zuckerberg will obviously have some things to say, I think, between now and then. We'll... Be talking about this for many weeks to come, I suspect. Now, let's talk about industrial espionage, shall we?
Ooh, I thought you'd never ask.
Really? What have you done lately?
Nothing. Can't prove
was
anything.
Was it you?
Was it?
Just say no comment. No
now, we, yeah, no comment. We made mention of this in last week's show, so a lot more information.
We are.
And an opinion from the man with a view.
That's exactly right. The man from 123 Fake Street has a view on industrial espionage. In this case, it was deliberate and malice kicking down the door and doing destructive things to web hosting company, Distribute IT. Well, you spoke of this. We spoke about this last week.
But, as usual, Adam's got an opinion and a point of view about it.
How's his glockenspiel?
Not this week.
Aww.
I think it's been on vacation.
Is he back to his... Because he always had a theme. He's got a theme.
He wants another one.
He just had a bee in his bonnet, I think.
Yeah. He wanted a trendy sort of 80s music theme.
Or was someone putting their hand up? Yeah, no. I liked his glockenspiel one.
Did you hear the glock last week, Lena?
No, I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Oh, dear. It just went from bad to worse after the previous week.
He's been down there playing with the kids' toys. This week, no, it's just industrial espionage through and through.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
The recent attack on Australian web hosting company Distribute IT graphically illustrates the difference between hacking and burning. It's pretty hard to shock people these days, but the recent scorched earth attack on Australian web host Distribute IT was nothing short of brutal. This wasn't script kiddies chasing bragging rights, cyber crims in search of credit cards, or online vigilantes out to make a statement. This was a cold and calculated attack designed to wipe a business and its customers off the face of the earth. The attack erased thousands of websites for good and has quite possibly destroyed Distribute IT's business along the way. It seems we're talking about industrial espionage, the digital equivalent of throwing a Molotov cocktail through the front window of a business. What's most shocking about the attack is that it targeted not only active web servers but also backups, ensuring 4,800 websites can never be recovered unless website owners kept their own backups. We're not just talking about family photos and personal blogs. We're also talking about online businesses which have been wiped out, some of which will never recover. Jobs could be lost due to this attack. Distribute IT also supports resellers located throughout Australia who have been affected by the attack, damaging their credibility with their own clients. Questions still remain to be answered as to why the attackers were able to obliterate all backups, and that the websites can't be recovered from sources such as off-site tape-based backup. There are obviously lessons to be learned by fellow web hosting companies, but there are also critical lessons here for those of us who run websites, large or small. There's no such thing as a foolproof system or a bulletproof hosting company. Backups are a vital form of insurance if you rely on your website to be up and running. If you can't afford to lose your website for good, you can afford to take the time to make a backup.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, make backups. It's not hard, especially if you get a proper web company to build your website in the first place, because they'll have a backup.
Well, they should be keeping a backup for you anyway.
We do that with all our clients. So if you need web stuff, come talk to us. The offices of Tech Talk Radio.
You had some Distribute IT customers, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
You had been the word?
Yes. Past tense.
Well, yeah, technically they weren't my customers. They were customers of the company I used to work for.
Right.
And I never took over that part of it. But yes, I do look after their tech support, so we were tied up in that mess.
Oh, no.
So,
so what happened? It just disappeared overnight, obviously, instantly, whenever they did their job.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it all just went offline, and over the next several days, some bits and pieces came back online and some didn't. I don't think my customers lost anything.
Oh, that's good. Lucky.
No.
Lucky you're with...
Not luck.
No? Okay. You had a backup.
No luck involved.
You did the backup?
Mm-hmm. Clever backup strategies.
CGC's customer support. Excellent. Well done. Well done. All right. Also, we should take a bit of a note here. Adam Turner, who did that, he used to do a blog called Shiny Things. Do you remember that?
Shiny
yes.
Things.
Yep.
I like Shiny
Things.
It's
time for Shiny Things to fade away.
Aww.
He's going to stop blogging Shiny Things.
He's going to stop polishing it.
Yeah. Yes, he's fine. Graham's gone. He's finally realised he can only polish it for so long. And it doesn't, its lustre doesn't come back, does it?
It's nope.
Just polish it and that's it. Anyway, after 2.5 years and just over 250 posts, the time has come to stop polishing the blog, to call it a day.
You're right, Graham?
I broke him. I think I actually broke him.
Broken Graham.
He needs medical attention.
Oh, dear. Anyway, he's been doing it for plenty of time, and there's been lots. I've got a lot of enjoyment out of his little blogs from time to time, because you've got to remember, a blog is not a journalistic piece.
No.
It's an opinion piece, and it's a great place for journalists to get up there and say their thing, whatever they feel about something, what they're passionate about, and hopefully not have it taken as a journalistic piece, which is, you know, credible and backed up and all that. We all like our opinions. That's what we do here, isn't it? It's all an opinion piece. We all sit around the couch and talk about stuff. So well done, Adam. Thanks so long, and thanks for all the fish. And he had a lovely picture of a dolphin there with a man feeding it fish, as you do. Now, I've got some important news here from Scamwatch.
Ooh.
Have you been on the dating calendar circuit lately?
Can't say I have.
Dr. Ron, you posted that awful video of that woman and her cat on the eHarmony website.
That was a hoax. You can hear the person laughing in the background at her who's taking the video.
I was hoping it was a hoax, because I thought for somebody to be that mentally deranged
really like
in
cats.
Charge of a computer, that scared
just,
me.
Just Google it. Something had like 11 million views on YouTube. It's
scared
one of those,
me a lot.
I'm surprised what's his name hasn't got to it on Equals 3 yet, but I'm sure he will. Anyway, dating and romance scams try to lower your defences by appealing to your romantic or compassionate side.
Right.
They play on emotional triggers to get you to provide money, gifts, or personal details, or your Facebook account. Scammers target victims by creating fake profiles on legitimate internet dating sites. And once you're in contact with a scammer, they will express strong emotions for you in a relatively short period of time. And we suggest you move the relationship away from the website to phone, email, or instant messaging. That's Scamwatch saying that. Scammers often claim to be from Australia, but travelling or working overseas. So there you go. If you're onto the, just be wary of people that befriend you very quickly and fall head over heels in the space of 24 hours, because traditionally they're after.
Well, doesn't that happen in real life?
Did it happen for you, Dr. Ron?
Well,
mine was years.
You were saying before about appealing to people's compassionate and romantic sides. My wife was listening to you saying, oh, Doctor,
she's
Ryan,
not
you've
on
got
the
nothing
chat
to worry
tonight.
About. No.
Mine's out of earshot. Mine's in the middle of the bush.
Yeah, up at the farm.
I'm going underneath 100 kilometre an hour winds this evening.
That should
be
one.
Fun. I'm glad I'm down here in suburbia.
That's the one.
Another interesting scam watch too that came out during the course of the week. You know the missed call scams?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. Where people ring up and they send you a text and it relies on you having calling number display on your telephone and you go, oh my gosh, I missed a call from, and the number is displayed on the screen, whether it be a 02, 03, whatever number, and you ring it back.
Not knowing who it is.
Yeah, exactly. Traditionally, they're scams. And once again, ScamWatch have recommended that you Google numbers that you miss.
Ah.
And if it's a scam, it'll come up on the Google results saying, this is a scam. And these are the numbers you're being scammed from. So that was a good tip from ScamWatch, I thought. Very good during the course of the week.
I do that sometimes on my blog when there's comments on there that I think might be spam, but I'm not quite sure. I highlight the whole comment and Google it.
What, and see
it
if
usually,
there's
usually
someone...
comes up with a whole bunch of other ones that are exactly the same, then I know
yep.
it's spam.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I try to do that on the forum when I get new users joining, and I just Google the username, and sometimes you see it's registered on 18,500 different forums, or has been in the last 24 hours.
Oh,
I might just
delete
that user before they before they post anything.
Yep.
But despite my best efforts, we don't always get them all.
Yeah. Mm. So all this information comes from the ScamWatch website.
Yeah, the government
website.
Yes, propaganda. No, yeah. They're very good, actually. ScamWatch are good.
What's the address, Graeme, if you've got it in front of you?
I just happen to have it in
have
front
a guess.
Of me.
ScamWatch.
ScamWatch.gov.au. GOV.au.
Very good. This is Tech Talk Radio. It's time for Coldy. We'll be back shortly after this.
You're listening.
Google has opted out of Germany now.
But that's not the whole problem.
Lino, help us. You need to come back. All is forgiven.
Yeah, what do you want? I can't deal with this now.
Absolutely.
That's very wrong.
It was very rude.
And obviously pretty good on the batteries too.
Not happy, Jan.
Oh, well. You have nothing here which does not have an Apple on it.
That's the way I like it.
Couldn't even tell her whether you were male or female.
No. Frankly, no.
Have you worked out the five-finger fondle yet?
I hate toolbars on browsers.
Yes.
That really drives me insane.
Yes.
that lacks couth as well.
That lacks complete couth.
Graeme took umbrage during the week with a ranking system that I developed on the forum.
Should have known that was coming.
A good cabler is worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Mm. Let's talk about Apple, shall we?
Yay.
Oh, Apple scandal.
Yeah. That's when I but thought I got out. They pull me back in.
Entertaining. They post some lolcats.
No, they haven't posted any lolcats yet that I've seen.
Informative.
At some point, litigation must come to an end.
Exactly.
Independent.
I'm not queuing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
And there are going to be Google Plus business profile pages coming very soon. So that'll be interesting. Facebook really don't have a business page. You have to just create a page and call it a business, don't you? I wonder if it's one and the same when it comes to Google Plus.
I don't think you're supposed to either. You're not supposed to just invent names on Facebook. I think it's against their user policies.
Oh. Anyway, this rumor comes from Jeff Huber, who is the Google Vice President of Local and Commerce. He's indicated that there'll be some point in the near future a business page for your profile, which is probably got to be good because if you think about it, you could have circles of your favourite shops, couldn't you? And all their specials and their day-to-day communications could come up on the stream. Oh, look, it's the mind boggles. It's endless opportunities,
that's
really.
It. And further to what we were talking about before the break, Warlock in the chat room says that ScamWatch can also be followed on Twitter. If you go to twitter.com/scamwatch_gov.
Yes, they actually tweet some good stuff.
Do they?
Yeah. Have seen it there from time to time. Yeah.
Excellent.
I was in a country during the course of the week and was playing around with...
What country were you in?
The countryside.
Oh, no, that country.
Yeah, up right. The bush. And we're in marginal Telstra coverage, the big pondy sort of mobile broadband thing, which was good. And Dr. Ron and I were playing with location-based... Yeah, you know, the app we had of the week a while back, which was called Glimpse, having a lot of fun with that whilst driving down the highway. You can actually teleport from where you lose coverage. You teleport from one part of the world to the other in a straight line. It's very funny. But
where you lose coverage and then between that point and where you pick up coverage, It draws a straight line on the map.
Right.
So it can look quite funny.
Straight through mountains.
Yeah. Or if you're in the city where you go into the city loop on the train and you go underground for a while and you emerge again, you just get this big straight line across the city.
It's a bit like that game that Lena plays called Portal.
Yeah, it's like you go into a glimpse portal and you come out a glimpse portal. It's a little bit like that.
Anyway, the purpose for my discussion, it's really handy for family and friends to keep tabs on you if you need to, if you're travelling. You know, at any one particular point in time, you can just look at the screen, whether it be on your computer or on your small screen device, and providing they've sent you a glimpse, it's very good. Been having a lot of fun with it of lately, especially watching train travellers in the morning. It's good. You see where they go on the railway line. So, but that was good. But yes, mobile phone coverage is still an interesting proposition in the country these days. You can move 3 foot and it'll drop out regardless of whichever network you're on. Obviously, some are a bit more entrenched than others, but that was from the experience of the weekend.
You'll love the app this week.
Really?
It's like a reverse glimpse. So contemplate that, if you will, until the end of the program.
All right. I'll try. We're all contemplating it. It's eye lines going around the studio every which way. Every which way. Facebook plans an awesome launch this week.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I think it's just Zucker trying to keep a finger in the pie.
Look over here. Yeah. Pay no attention to Google Plus.
Yeah, Facebook, the world's biggest social networking website, is set to launch a new feature, possibly in the mobile or tablet arena, according to Mark Zuckerberg. He's not letting the cat out of the bag yet. Anyway, he told reporters in a visit to Facebook Seattle office last week that the company planned to launch something awesome. And that's quotation mark, awesome, close quotation mark. So we'll wait and see what happens. Anyone heard any rumours what this awesomeness will be?
We have not.
No? I'd be willing to bet it won't be all that awesome.
Yeah.
Won't be as awesome as Google Plus, surely.
Well, you'd have to be pretty awesome to beat that. Unless there's another feature or facility coming into his Facebook. No?
If it's awesome with an exclamation point, is it like a play on words? Is that going to be an acronym for something? It's going to be automated widget.
I hear what you're saying, but no, it's
automated Windows enhanced superior.
Get going. Yeah. SWOM.
Online marketing engine.
Yeah.
See?
There you go.
You called it. Called it.
You heard it first.
Well done.
Hey,
thank you very much.
It's very silly, is what you're trying to say. Well, I'll have to wait and see. When
I can't go on with that. I'm going to put that down now.
When is this announcement going to be made?
Oh, this week, apparently.
And will he announce it on Google Plus?
He'll probably send it on a tweet.
So that was an announcement about an announcement.
Yes, a pending announcement. Right. Yeah, that's what the world's come to in the world of high-tech social networking. We're going to make an announcement next week. Tense up.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Prepare thyself.
It is.
Get it? Awesome.
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 Maybe something to do with boats.
What was that acronym again?
Awesome.
I can't remember now.
O-A-R. Some. Yeah. Awesome.
Apple has outright ownership now of Nortel's LTE, which is long-term evolution 4G patents. Maybe. That's going to be an interesting one. That was rumoured on one of the websites during the course of the week.
What was this?
Well, pay attention, sorry. Graham. We were talking about, on Mac Rumors, that Apple has outright ownership of Nortel's LTE 4G patents,
which is
for mobile phone
technology. The reason I
asked
is because, yes, there was other stuff going on with Nortel.
Yeah, you're looking
at
the rundown. It hasn't hit the rundown because I only printed out this.
This is item 16.
Is it? Oh, well, there you go. It has hit it. Anyway.
No, there was other stuff going on with Nortel patents during the course of the last few days as well. So, I wasn't exactly sure which one you're talking about.
That's a big patent. If Nortel, Apple's going to own 4G, I don't know what that means. What ramifications would that have to providers like Telstra and AT&T and, all those big phone companies? They're going to pay licensing fees to Apple now just to use the
presumably,
phone network.
Instead of, and the only difference would be the name on the check. They have to pay it to the Google or Apple or whoever it is instead of, is it Apple? Yes, Apple. It's Apple. Instead of Nortel, I suppose.
Nortel used to be cool, but they're not anymore. They had all that.
Why did they used to be cool? Well, they used to make phones, didn't they?
Well, they used to.
Then they got involved in network engineering, and now what?
And then they nearly went bankrupt, I think, or they did go bankrupt, and they've had to sell themselves to all these
a fire sale, is it?
Yeah, that's right. That's why they've got the partnership with Apple here, and then there's LG. They partnered with LG for their phones, so you don't have Nortel phones anymore. You have LG Nortel or Nortel LG phones, and you don't.
They're cheapening the brand.
Well, they are. You don't anymore just see Nortel by itself. It's all partnership with everybody.
Oh, this might be the same story I was thinking of, because this is the auction. There was an auction for these patents, these wireless patents. And Google, when they were bidding on their own, were bidding some very odd numbers in the auction.
Was it a setup?
No, Google were just having fun. So,
buy it now on eBay.
Well, so for example, when the bidding got to somewhere around about the $3 billion mark, they bid an amount equal to pi $1 billion.
Oh, okay.
So $3.14159 billion
pi,
was their bid.
Pi billion.
And they did that with other interesting mathematical constants through the auction.
I hope they didn't get up to a Google. That could have been quite expensive for them.
It would have been very expensive. No, they stopped bidding around about the $4 billion, and the auction was won in the end by a group of six companies bidding as a consortium for about $4.5 billion.
You wouldn't want to go up against Google
in an auction. The article I'm reading here lists the group of companies. Well, particularly when they're playing numbers games with $3 billion amounts. So, what does that tell you about their corporate attitude?
Exactly.
But the apparently a group of six companies won the auction in the end. Apple, Microsoft, RIM, EMC, Ericsson, and Sony. So
they all want a bit of the cake.
Yeah, yeah.
Or pie as it is tonight.
Well, it must have been. It must have been that the value of the patent was higher than any of them wanted to bid in independently.
Did they put any bids in for Tau $1 billion?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, it had to come to that. Dr. Curly Tech on our forum says Nortel fell into the wrong crowd. What does that mean, Dr. Ron?
I got all excited there. I thought I saw a Tau billion, but 1902.
Oi, over here.
Oh, sorry. You face the front, Dr. Ron. Say again.
I was just saying, Dr. Curly Tech said Nortel fell into the wrong crowd, and you said agree.
Yeah,
why
agree.
Do you agree?
I agree.
Do you mean it's just pandering to people like LG and those sort of.
Well, I think Nortel had a lot of financial woes. And they used to be
Bad management?
Well, yeah. They used to have a highly respected name, and they're well known internationally for the good products, the good telecommunications products, but now they're in with everybody.
I love the way it just changes on the chat. It's gone from that to Weekend of Bernie's. Have you noticed our chat? They just go off on tangents. You can come and join us if you like, chat.techtalkradio.com.au, and just throw in a curly one, a herring from left of field, like most of our people in the chat do. Anyway, just another, by the way, with Google Plus, it's been blocked in China. Does that surprise anybody?
No.
How do you block a service like that? Because it wouldn't be on ports, would it, Graham?
With an iron fist.
Well, the same way you block any website. You block it.
But wouldn't you just block Google because it's in the Google domain?
Well, you could. There'd be a number of different ways to do it, and I'm sure that the Chinese would
be aware
of all the different ways of
doing it. They've been talking with Dr. Conroy. I mean, no, he's not a doctor. Sorry, I didn't mean to build him up that way. Senator Conroy.
Google's very centred over there, isn't it?
He was actually. The filter? Optus are going to run the filter live this month. They've confirmed that it will follow Telstra and start filtering its internet customers' traffic for blacklisted sites containing nastiness within the next few weeks.
Yeah, they're going to do. Telstra's going to do the same thing.
So if you're a Telstra customer or a Optus customer, that's the end of the.
Your traffic will be filtered.
That's the end of those sites for you. Move on,
whether you like it or not.
Yeah, get on board with someone else who doesn't resell those things. But
if you want to know what's on the blacklist, then you can't.
And no, this is not the ACMA one, this is it? This is the other...
It's a blacklist.
The international mob, what do you call them?
Yeah, that's ACMA's administering it, though.
Yeah. So, anyway, late Friday night, Telstra confirmed that its filter implementation had gone live, so it's up and running. That'll upset a few people. But, yes, interesting to see what happens there in respect to Optus doing it, because their network was traditionally... Remember when they started filtering us? For ports and things like that, we used to... Yeah, they slowed us all down. It was terrible. That was in the early days.
Back in the good old days, when we were the only people on our...
On Optus cable.
On
one
cable
end of the street
segments.
To the other.
It
was great. Wasn't it? Great, blindingly fast bandwidth from one end of the street to the other. It was really good.
It was good. You could run servers and do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you could indeed. Now, WikiLeaks, we haven't had them in the news for a while. They're just the tit-for-tat stuff that's out there at the moment. WikiLeaks is going to sue Visa and MasterCard. Remember a while back when... When what's his name? Can't think of his name.
Julian
Assange. That's him. They appealed for funds, and people could contribute via Visa and MasterCard, and because at the time Visa and MasterCard said, nope, you're not using us, and they cut him off.
So, the backstory is that the WikiLeaks site had revealed a whole heap of stuff that was embarrassing to the United States government, so the United States government put pressure on various commercial organisations not to deal with the WikiLeaks organisation. and they're unable to accept donations through Visa and MasterCard and various other sources. In fact, a whole swag of sources that they were not allowed to use.
So litigation must start.
Yes.
As opposed to stop with the Winklevoss. Or Winklevoss.
And
Although they're still going, aren't they? They found something else. They'll probably have a go at Google in a minute. Because that's what they do. Anyway,
regardless of the rights and wrongs of what they did, I think WikiLeaks have got a
they have a case.
A significant point here, yeah.
I agree. Visa and MasterCard collectively hold 96% of the European payment market, which is pretty much all of it. I don't know what else would be up there. They wouldn't have bank card or anything. Maybe a bit of Amex or something. Amex is the 4% one, maybe. Yep.
And there is a very Eurocentric one as well that I can't bring to mind. But
ABN
yes.
AMRO?
I'm not sure.
And apparently, according to these statements, the blockade was in violation of Article 102 of the Treaty of the Functioning of the European Union. In other words, Dr. Ron, one of your acronyms, a TFEU, which prohibits agreements that restrict competition in the European Union. I'll put my tongue back in now.
Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union.
Yeah. TFEU. TFEU, yeah. Like pie, but not quite.
TFEU. Article 102. Oh, yeah.
Right. Do you know it?
No.
No.
No one does.
Okay. Should we talk a bit about Apple?
Yes.
And then we can talk about some gaming. You've got some gaming news for us, don't we, Hope?
I do.
Because you weren't here last week, so we missed out on our gaming update, so we can do that in a sec. But let's talk about Apple.
Yep.
Ranking 21st largest US retailer in 2010.
Not bad.
Only 21st. Still which was the good. Biggest, do you reckon?
21st by what?
Right.
Just to put you on the spot, how well do you know?
2010 US retail sales in millions. So wow, that's a big dollars. Number.
Okay, on worldwide retail sales in bajillions. Yeah,
yeah, number 21.
Yep.
It says 2010 US retail sales, bracket 000 in dollars.
20 billion.
So
20 billion, 134 million.
Really? That's not what it says. Oh, yes, it is. That's worldwide retail. But I was looking at the US sales, but you've gone worldwide. Which means, look at the difference. It's only 2 billion bucks, 18 to 20.
Yeah, from 18 in the US and over to worldwide.
Yeah, which is not much. Can't be big outside of the US then, can it?
Top of the list is Walmart.
I know.
$307 billion in retail sales.
Followed by Kroger, which is obviously doesn't mean anything to us Australians. And then there's Target underneath that, number three. But look at the difference between Walmart and Target. Like, Walmart is $421 billion and Target $65 billion.
Walmart's out of control.
That's a massive, massive jump. I tell you what, I reckon Walmart, in about a week's worth of trading, could fix the US debt, don't you reckon?
Probably.
And that's a very interesting thing, because I was listening to the commentators during the course of the week that the US GDP is nearly equal to their debt. Never before have they had a one-to-one ratio of GDP to debt.
How does that work? I'm not an economist, but it doesn't sound healthy.
Okay, no, it's not. It's not a good ratio.
Not a good one to have.
You want to... Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this is not a show about that sort of stuff, but I just thought it was an interesting statistic that came out during the course of the week.
It's interesting they put their Apple stores / iTunes.
Yeah.
So they're talking about physical, real-world stores and the online iTunes store.
Oh, it'd be interesting to know the difference if you took iTunes out of it.
They'd have to be making the bulk of it out of iTunes, wouldn't they?
They were, in the last quarter, I think we talked about last week, $2 billion, I think it's just iTunes.
And each iTunes user's worth, was it $15 a year or $25 a year or something to Apple?
Is it?
Oh. I'm worth more than that.
You would be. I'd be worth a lot less. I'm here to tell you.
You would be.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
We've got a lot of festivals coming up, and I was going to talk about
you. You were going to travel, weren't you?
I am. I'm travelling a lot this month.
You're becoming a little gypsy reporter out there.
A little bit.
And get your little wagon and off you go. Where are you going to next?
Adelaide.
WOMAD.
No. I'm going to AvCon.
AvCon.
Yep. Which is the first one I'll talk about. That's from July 22nd to 24th.
What do they do there?
Adelaide Convention Centre. AV in AvCon stands for anime and video games. And anime is that sort of Japanese style of cartoon. You've probably seen some people call it manga. I know there's a difference between anime
and
manga.
What do they call it? Mango?
Manga.
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 I'm not into anime.
Don't send emails about the difference between the two. I know there is one. I just don't know what it is.
Spelling?
No.
That would be one difference.
Different styles, different, yeah, different content as well. It's a convention all about anime and video games, and it's a non-for-profit event, and it's run by a group of volunteers, and it's has things a lot like Supernova that I went to a little while ago, mm-hmm. and I did that video about that. Mm-hmm. Sort of a pop culture expo, so you've got cosplay competitions, which is where people dress up as their favourite video game characters or anime characters and whatnot.
Are you going to dress up?
No, I'm not.
Not
I'm
this
be,
time?
No. Oh. I've never cosplayed before, except Halloween. But that doesn't count. And on the weekend. Okay, yeah, might, a little bit. But I don't there's all the time.
There's photos of you out there. You can't deny it.
No,
all right,
true.
You got me. I do a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit.
Doing it in spare time is completely your business.
You can also have the chance to play unreleased games and buy a lot of merchandise and basically any kind of trade show, but for anime and video
games.
Is
there a good junket over there? Like, do you all get to go out and wine and dine and schmooze companies? And
after parties and whatnot.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of fun.
Yeah, debauchery and alcohol and definitely. Singing of songs late at night. And
Tech Talk encourages you to drink responsibly.
They call it karaoke.
I will be looking forward to that. I'm going to be
doing karaoke?
Another...
I would be too.
Yeah, I'll be doing another little video there as well. So we're taking all our equipment over there and going to have a bit of fun with that. We're taking 3 cameras this time.
Oh, it's bigger than Ben Hur.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And also coming up in August is the Free Play Independent Games Festival, which you should all come along
Where's
to.
Where's that? Free
That's
Play.
That's at the State Library, Victoria.
Okay, so you're back home here in Victoria.
Yes, in Melbourne. From August 20th to the 21st. There's a few things happening in the days beforehand, but I'll keep you posted about that. I'm actually one of the associate producers.
Oh, wow.
For this one this year.
What does that
very
mean?
Very exciting. I'm running
free
a
tickets?
Play day. No.
Oh, gee. Sorry, guys. I tried to get some free tickets for our listeners. No.
Sorry.
You
no.
can't even. Nothing for nothing in this world.
I can't. I probably have to pay to get in. So it's a very small budget. But, no, it's a festival all about. It's more for the people who are making the games than the people who want to play them. So the developers and the people who are interested in developing games and the creativity and the artistic side behind games and digital art education and the whole games culture and what it's all about. It's been going for a few years now, but last year they started the Free Play Awards. So that's always a good one to see on the Sunday after it's all finished. Some awards go out. I had a lot of fun last year at the Free Play and I'll be running a play day in the days upcoming to the festival.
What's a play day, apart from the place where you take young children to go and throw balls at each other?
Similar. It's just that for grown-ups, pretty much. No,
you just put consoles in front of them and they play each other. Is that
no,
it?
No, it's street games. So it's all games...
People?
Like, with people. So I can't give away too much.
Oh.
But it's a very exciting competition that I will be running, a tournament of some description. Which,
so when can you let the cat out of the bag, so to speak?
When I've locked everything in and it's all finalised and ready.
All right.
But I'm still picking a venue and doing all this other stuff at the moment. But that should be very, very exciting. I'll keep you posted on that one. It's worth having a look. If you've got a skill set like animation or you like to write or you're just interested to see how, you know, if you're in a creative industry and you're interested to see how it might be different in games, it's fascinating to come along and have a talk. There's going to be lots of workshops, lectures, mini lectures, panels, discussion topics, all those sorts of things flying around. Or you can just watch it on Twitter. There's always a really good Twitter hashtag. You can just click on that. And the social media presence is really good for Free Play. Also, we've got, for people who want to make games, Game On in October 1st and 2nd. It's up in Brisbane. I think it's at QUT.
So Adelaide, back to Melbourne, then up to Brizzy.
Yep.
Gee whiz, you get around.
I'm not going to all of these, but that's a game jam and a conference. So it's a conference with a game jam stuck on the end. And a game jam, I was a judge at the Global Game Jam earlier this year.
Yes, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, and it's when a whole bunch
that's
of people
when they get locked
together.
Into rooms and have to write code and come out with a game or something,
exactly.
Don't they?
Exactly. You've got 48
and that's on
hours.
Again.
Yeah, that's on it up in Brisbane.
Oh, wow.
Not the same, exactly the same bunch of people, but
you better
the same
take a microphone
idea.
And have a chat to them when they come out so you can hear what they did and why they did it and how they did it.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to keep a microphone there the whole time, I think.
I don't think you'd put all of it to air, would you?
No, to catch all the rage quitting and the throwing of tables and whatnot. But they have 48 hours to complete a game from prototype to playable. So
it would get a bit feisty, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It tests your team skills.
And is there a certain number of people in a team? Like, is there like a writer and a project manager and
normally,
a developer and a lackey, a
You've
coffee boy?
You've normally got at least one programmer, at least one artist, and at least one designer.
Yeah.
But everyone thinks they're a designer, so it gets a bit difficult.
Okay.
Everyone thinks
they're
a
designer. Do they have rations? Like, are they limited, you know, like one coffee per hour type sort of
they
thing?
They get fed and watered by regularly?
Yes, they get
fed.
Yeah. Yeah. Good sponsorship and all
lots
that
of sugar
thing.
To get them, keep them going.
Definitely. Good. Definitely. And there'll also be, if you're interested, there's the EB Games Expo up on the Gold Coast.
EB. Yeah. And they're a supplier, retail outlet.
Retailer, yes. They're doing on the 5th and 16th of October. Up in the Gold Coast, at the Gold Coast Convention and Exhibition Centre. They're having a big, sort of similar to Avcon and Supernova and all that, but it's...
Oh, this is their flavour version of it,
yeah, it's all their vendors and who they want to show you all the games that we can play that we haven't had yet. And they usually do this expo for the staff of the stores every year, and they're opening it to the public this year as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you're going along to that one too?
I think I am, yes.
What do you expect to see if it's normally a closed group? Is it just the new games coming onto the market?
I think it'll be a giant ad... To be honest,
yeah,
a little bit because it's one retailer, so it's going
to
be.
Well, I know that that's the case when we go to trade shows and you go to the Sony stand, it's just one great big Sony fest of all their gadgets and gizmos.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this is going to be. There's cosplay competitions and all that in those as well. So people really love getting along and getting those, and it's always great to get a few photos of your favorite characters and everything.
Well, just because we're feeling left out, Dr. Ron and I, we're going up to Simpty in 2 weeks' time. That's a big boys' toys thing up in Sydney. You know, things like helicopters with mounts on them that they fly
lasers.
Through things and stuff like that. And you put cameras in them. And
sharks with laser beams.
Sharks That's with lasers.
Yeah. Sorry, I was feeling left out there for a while. But anyway, as you were.
And the last one, it's not really a festival, but it's a chip tunes night, which I thought
what?
I'd bring up.
Chip tunes?
Chip tunes.
Is it like beer and pizza night?
No.
Chip and tunes?
No. It's Soundbites 9. It's held at La Di Da on King Street in Melbourne on the 8th of July.
There's people in other countries listening to you here going, what did she just say?
Chip tunes are what people would
sorry, Jeff.
Would call, they'd identify it as video game bleepy bloopy music. So, you know, that sort of, when you think about video game music from 8-bit.
Ding, 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 ding.
You know, when you think back to your arcade games and your pixelated old school sort of games and how they had the same similar sort of music, that real synthesized type thing.
I'm thinking actually, Tetris.
Yeah, exactly like that. Yep, and Mario and all those.
I was playing the real Mario on the weekend on not the PlayStation. What's the other one? The Wii.
Yep.
They've got the very first one on there and you can get on there and you can... It's got that great music.
That's chiptunes. And that's whole genre of music. And DJs who specialise in chiptunes music all get together and have like battles together.
You mean there's DJs?
There's DJs that do chiptunes.
Are you serious?
Yep. So that's why I thought I'd bring it up because it's really cool.
You better take a...
You had the audacity to call us nerds during the week. And you come in here and tell us about these people.
Chiptunes, yeah.
It's very cool. I thought anyway. That's on...
You better take a microphone. I've got to hear this. What's a chiptune DJ festival? They all, up each other's tempo or something like that and...
They just battle together. They battle against each other. That's on the 8th and 7th in Melbourne. Tickets are $12 at the door. It's worth having a look. It'd be interesting.
Very good. So, is there any more gossip? What else has been happening?
The Manor Bar is going to open in Melbourne... In a few weeks.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting. We've been waiting a while for
and
hours.
And the Manor Bar is?
There's a gaming bar up in Brisbane called the Manor Bar, and they're opening a Melbourne one, and it's starting to open now. It's a video game bar, so you can go to the bar and play games with your friends.
Can you play Space Invaders at the sit-down character things?
Probably could.
Yeah?
There probably is an arcade machine in there somewhere.
They're worth a lot of money, those things.
They
have you got one? Have you got one of the very early sit-down console-y things that you used to see at the fish and chip shop?
No, I don't.
Graham, we're going to pull your microphone down in a minute. Stop it.
He's playing chip tunes.
I know.
Playing Lemmings.
Oh, Lemmings. Now, there was a game, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, it can sound really cool, the chip tunes. The Manor Bar does chip tunes nights as well, and they always have chip tunes on in the background, as they would.
I'm still coming to terms with the terminology. Chip tunes. It's like doof doof music, but this is computer games, chip tunes.
Often referred to as 8-bit chip tune bands, which is a bit of a mouthful. But yeah.
Oh, well, you probably heard a lot of it on those other radio stations that play music like Fox and Today and all those sort of things.
I think it's a bit too underground.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
They probably haven't heard of it yet. They're not cool enough.
So which is the best one you're looking forward to? Is it Adelaide, Sydney, or the one here in town that you're organising?
Free Play's got my heart for sure.
Really?
That's my favourite festival of the year. But I've never been to Avcon before, so I'm really excited to go over there and have a look. And seeing as Adelaide's fairly small, I'm sure when they have a big party like this, it's going to be a good one.
Oh,
not much else goes on, I'd imagine. Sorry to our lovely people in Adelaide. But yeah.
Keep digging.
I'm looking forward
to it.
Keep
digging. Yeah,
absolutely.
You can tell me off in person soon.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I now feel well and truly up to date in
your
what's going on.
Your social calendar is now filled.
Yeah, no, I've got no more room in anything calendarish at the moment. It's a bit silly at the moment. By the way, the end of the financial year happened here last week, just in case, like the other day, in case you didn't realise. Tax time. Did you know that it's too late now to go and buy your MacBook Air? Well, you couldn't have anyway because they haven't come out yet. But the new thinner, lighter, bigger, better MacBook Airs are coming mid-July. That's this month. You going to get one, Lena?
No.
Or are you going to stick with your iPad?
I'll stick with my iPad, yeah. I think. Yeah.
They're very thin. I did get to see one of the current generation MacBook Airs the other day. Mm. They're very nice.
They're lovely.
They're very lightweight. Very good for aircraft travel, I've come to the conclusion.
Yeah. If I was a frequent flyer,
if you travelled a lot, perfect.
Yep. If I was a frequent flyer, I'd grab one, but I'm not.
Anyway.
This month I am, but usually I'm not.
Yes. So the long rumoured update is that this month you will start seeing the shipping of the new MacBook Airs. Anyway, that's a bit of fun. Graham, you'd never be caught with one of those, would you?
Probably not.
No?
Sorry.
Okay.
I like my ThinkPad.
Do you? Yeah. I must admit. I'm a bit of a... I like my little laptop-y, netbook-y things. I think they're good. They're a bit more self-contained. But that's just me. There's lots of other people out there. Microsoft rules Mango.
What?
Microsoft rules of Mango for developers. You can't talk about Mango. How could you do that to your... You know, the Mango, which is the new mobile phone, Phone 7.
Oh.
Release. Language you want to develop in, you're not allowed to talk about it.
No, we haven't spoken about Mango before.
We're not allowed to.
So I didn't know what you were talking about.
Good, because that's the way Microsoft wants it.
Okay.
I just find it amazing that a company would say, okay, we're going to develop in this platform, yet you can't talk about it.
Is it like Fight Club or something?
I don't know.
Rule 1 of Mango development, you're not allowed to talk about Mango.
Pretty much. Anyway, Clause 8, confidentiality. By participating in this program, the developer agrees not to publish any content, screenshots, or comments in any media in advance of the official launch of Windows Phone Mango. So you can develop in it, you can do everything to your heart's content, but you can't tell anyone what you're doing. Can't talk about it.
It's a bit odd.
Surely you'd want to say, well, I've got this new program which is for up-and-coming Mango, but I can't show you anything. Anyway, I don't know why.
And also, what I'm getting out of this is that Microsoft are naming their Windows Phone releases after fruits. Is that right?
Well...
Or don't we know?
I don't know. Wait until
we don't know what the sequence is going to
be. They've got to work
be.
Through the citrus range yet.
So we're, yeah, okay. So
what
we're
happens
not
when they
be...
come out with a lemon? Do we get our money back?
I was wondering when that'd come.
Oh, no more citrus jokes. The chat room's just gone burlesque here with this citrus jokes.
Because they know what... They have an inkling of what I've planned for
they,
the replay.
Do they have insight, do they?
They might. Two words. I'll give two words away. Lemon jousting.
Lemon joust? What does that mean?
You'll find out.
Right. You have to bring some goggles by the sound of it. You don't want to get lemon juice in your eyes, do you? Oh, dear. All right. What else should we talk about this evening? There's all sorts of other things that have happened during the course of the week.
There's something on the running sheet you've failed to say because I know you won't like it.
What's that?
iPhone number one in Australia.
No, we skipped that one.
We skipped that one.
What's after that one?
But for how long, it says.
Number one.
Get down off the table. Stop dancing.
Number one says panel intro. No, that's not what you're talking about.
No, I think she's referring...
Number five on the running sheet.
She's referring to this. A new report from research firm IDC estimates that between January and March this year, Apple grabbed 40% of the local smartphone sales, besting Nokia's craptacular, that's their word, Symbian Death, for the first time. Android phones came in second with 30% market and share. But yet, you ready? Here's the fact, Lena. Settle. It's short-lived. Yet with over 500,000 Android devices now activated every day.
Yes!
Albeit globally.
Yeah, globally, not locally.
Lena.
Yes?
It can't be long.
I'm not a hater.
You're an Android hater. Don't hate on Android.
Okay, I won't.
Anyway, it can't be long before Android takes the top spot. Already Android has edged ahead at various times over in the United States. So potentially that might happen here in the not too distant future. But then again, I think Apple's iPhone will slow in sales because the new one is now being talked about, and it will probably September.
The new one's expected.
We're talking
about Q4.
Yeah.
So IDC said maybe sales will slow a little bit in Q3, but that's a long way ahead. And as a real-world demonstration of me being impartial and objective, I actually had that in the news.
Ah,
he did.
I wasn't listening.
No, what were you? You're talking about your weekend conquests and parties and things like that.
Indeed.
Tunes in about 20 past the hour when we start getting into the chat part.
When she hears her theme music,
yeah.
She switches
she's
on.
She's ready to go now.
Hey, I was paying attention before, but we were packing everything out when the news was on. We weren't even in the studio, actually.
Right. Well, on the other hand, if this makes... We'll go from the sublime to the ridiculous. Orange in the UK are handing out free Windows phone apps every day in July. They're trying to bolster the Windows phone coming of age thing.
Good luck.
I think Windows... the way I'm feeling it is Microsoft may have just missed the mark on this one. It's going to be a niche phone for those people that... I think it'd be another RIM, another BlackBerry. Oh, no, I can't even draw that parallel. No, I'll take that back.
Orange is a big telco in the UK.
Yeah, it's like they used to own... Well, we did.
Microsoft have come to lead from behind in the past.
What are you going to do with Skype then?
Oh, God knows. But think back... Think back to the browser wars.
Their market share is still falling out.
Netscape was seriously entrenched. Before Microsoft had a web browser, and then they brought out Internet Explorer, and we now talk about everybody else trying to knock Internet Explorer off. So they definitely
but they
came
sort of
behind.
Win by default because it's they have
yeah,
to
but that's
it.
Right. That's the point. That's my point exactly. They do tend to win even if they come from behind.
I saw a really good graph the other day, which I must try and find again, but it had penetration of browsers across the world globally. And it was quite an interesting results in respect to where IE was and Firefox was and all that. Certainly, IE8 had the lion's share.
Yeah.
By default. And Firefox...
But they didn't start out that way.
No. And Firefox was running a very close second, so neck and necky types of stuff. And then Chrome and all that, they were way down the back. Chrome's a bit Google-ish in respect to that. But anyway. So, yes, if you're listening, Darren, in the UK, and you've got yourself a one of these great... little Windows phones, you can get free apps every day.
Right. For free apps.
For this month only in the UK. What are you laughing at, Dr. Ron?
I'm laughing. I shouldn't be encouraging Graham. I'm laughing at Graham.
Oh, are you?
The future's bright.
The future's bright?
Yes.
Orange.
It's the tagline of an orange.
That's right. They used to have them here in Australia.
Ago, yes.
A million years ago?
The future's bright. The future's orange, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And
that was a while ago.
Then they became Hutchison Telecoms and Three and...
That's right. They were Hutchison before Hutchison was Hutchison.
That's right. Yeah.
Say Hutchison again.
Hutchison.
It just sounded...
So did Hutchison buy out Orange here in Australia?
That all week.
No, they always were. Orange was a brand name, just like Three is a brand name.
Oh, okay. And then Hutchison sold to Vodafone, or they merged with Vodafone to become VHA.
Here they did, yeah. That's an Australian peculiarity, I think.
Wonder how their network's going. I haven't heard any grizzles
awful.
Of late. Oh, really?
Yes.
Have they got
says
any
she who's on
left?
It? Are you still?
Yep, still.
How long to go?
Another year.
Oh no! Call drops. Maybe they'll get their act together. You never know.
Hopefully.
Although I must admit, being a Telstra customer, I've had my fair share of call drops of recent days.
Mm.
It's disappear off into the never never. So
maybe because everyone's jumping off Vodafone.
I think you're
Telstra.
Right. Well, that's the upshot of all that sort of stuff, isn't it? It tends to go the other way. Anyway, you are listening to Tech Talk Radio. Today's lovely edition, which I think is 3:39. Gee, we're getting through them again this year, aren't we? Next thing, it'll be Christmas.
We're past the midpoint now, aren't
we?
I
made the 27. You what?
Can I share with everybody, Graham, the observation I made today? I was talking to you on the electric telephone, and I said that we've passed the outside broadcast solstice.
Oh, my goodness.
I was oblivious to that in the office. When did you make that?
I was talking to him off mic when there's the...
Oh,
I can't let you overhear this conversation. You'll break down.
No, I'm going on holidays early.
So we're now moving towards it rather than moving away from it.
Ah, good. All right. Speaking of moving towards the end of the show, here it comes.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
This is breakfast radio in some parts of the world.
He wanted to ring the police, but he wanted to do so anonymously.
Speaking of Qantas,
it's what, you shoot yourself special. In the face?
You shoot yourself in the face.
Dr. Ron, have you cyber squatted?
There are free tools to do most of these things.
I usually enjoy your podcast.
Oh. Because the old iPad just
that's
like,
what the iPad's for.
Entertaining.
Put your fingers in the ears. La, 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 la.
Informative.
The consumer is the winner.
Independent.
You've got to find the sweet spot.
While listening
to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
The Flyer is HTC's foray into the world of tablet computing. The HTC Flyer. This is an Android-powered tablet with a 1.5 gigahertz processor and 1 gigabyte of RAM.
So has someone finally designed an aerodynamic tablet that you can throw across the room and it'll hover?
It has aerodynamic properties in that it falls to the ground if you let it go.
Oh.
It has a 7-inch touch screen which runs in a 1024 by 600 resolution. It's got two cameras, front-facing and rear-facing. For connectivity, the HTC Flyer has 14.4 meg HSDPAs, that's mobile phone network connectivity, data connectivity. It also has wireless N and Bluetooth 3.0. Interestingly, it comes with a stylus, which HTC calls a magic pen. But annoyingly, there's nowhere to...
Why is it magic?
Well, I don't know. They call it a magic pen. There's nowhere to store the stylus, so you just have to try not to lose it. That's a bit silly.
Tie a string to it, like they did in the banks.
In a recent review, T3 magazine said the Magic Pen and HTC Scribe are a good combination. That's the interface and the application on the tablet for scribbling notes. It's ultra-portable, but T3 hated that it didn't run Honeycomb, which is the latest version of Android. It actually runs Gingerbread, which is 2.3. And they didn't like the cameras, and they said there's no video output. RRP, or you can find them on eBay for around $670. That's the Gadget, Andrew, the HTC Flyer.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
Thanks to Ben May, who's a long-time Tech Talk Radio friend.
Sorry, his email during the week.
Yeah, tweeted this tonight. The Twit Cleaner. Graham, he's anxiously got the new tab open there in his browser. TheTwitCleaner.com. Are you sick of the noise on Twitter? Here's what Twit Cleaner does. It analyses the people you follow.
Could be some people in this room, careful.
I want Graham to do it because I want to see what happens with his account because he uses his account in a very different way to me.
Not at all.
No. He uses his account.
You use yours, but he doesn't.
He doesn't tweet regularly. He's a Twitter consumer. It finds time wasters, spammers, boring people, bots, and so on. It creates a detailed report of everyone you're following and helps you focus your time and your energy.
No, see, I don't need this because I already unfollowed Lena.
Aww. Oh, no, harsh. My feelings.
Harsh.
You'll get emails.
What you do is authorize.
I will.
You'll get emails.
Authorize Twit Cleaner to use your account, and then here's what happens. It'll DM you with a report.
Oh, does that hurt?
And you click on the link, and you can see a really, really nice report. So have a look. I've done it, and it's worth a look. That's our website, Andrew, thetwitcleaner.com.
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
The app of the week this week, Where's My Droid? Have you ever lost your phone and you can't find it? You go to call it, listen for it ringing, then you realise...
I think we can all plead guilty to that at some stage.
But then you realise that you've got it on silent.
No, you've got it upside down if you've got one of the HTC Desires.
This application is fantastic. Next time you lose your Android phone, you text it with a special keyword or a code. This application monitors all your incoming texts. If it sees the keyword, then it can do a number of things. For example, turn the ringer on... Start ringing and have the ringtone run for 3 minutes or 5 minutes until you press the button on it that says, I found the phone.
That could be very annoying for the person at whose house you've left the phone.
It could be. But wait,
it could be a great party trick too.
But wait, there's more. This is where I hinted at a reverse glimpse. There's also a feature on it, which what it does is when you text it a special keyword, it turns on GPS, it finds out where it is, and it sends you the lat long of where it is. So if your phone's stolen... Or you leave it on the tram or the train or at the office and you don't realise where it is.
Or in the taxi when the little man at the front says, No, you have not left it in my car.
Correct. You can find it.
But it is. It's in my car.
Now, our friend Matthew, who alerted me to this application, he said, hey, Ron, just text me the letters GPS. And I texted GPS to his phone and within about 30 seconds, I had a reply from his phone. It said, attention word received. Phone is on. GPS has been started. Please wait up to 5 minutes for a response. And then about 10 seconds later, it replied again. Current location, accuracy 12 metres, latitude, longitude, speed, bearing, unable to get street address. So that's quite clever. And then a Google Maps link. It sent to me.
Oh,
well,
actually, it put you on the map and showed you whereabouts in Denmark his phone was.
So you could interrogate someone's phone and get there that long. It's
Did you ask
clever.
It for directions from where you were to where the where his phone was?
Yeah, it said, start walking northwest, son.
Yeah. It's a tad damp by about now, I would imagine. So what's that? That's the app of the week.
That's the app of the week. It's called Where's My Droid in the Android Marketplace.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
My, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Apartment complexes in the United States are using DNA testing on dog doo to find out who's not cleaning up after their pets.
Oh, no.
A housing estate in New Hampshire opened this year and has already had problems with some residents who aren't cleaning up the mess that their dogs leave. So the manager's
going, DNA it, are they?
The manager is using commercially available DNA sampling kits to check the DNA the dogs leave behind. The manager says residents have been told
Bag's not doing that.
They must submit samples from their dogs so the DNA profiles can be put on file. More than 30 dogs reside in the 252-unit complex.
How many prosecutions have there been?
The manager of the housing estate said that she was contemplating sending the dog owners fines.
Really?
All the dog owners...
Sounds enforceable.
All the dog owners that were asked said they thought it was a terrific idea.
Very good. That's the Odd Spot of the week. Now, one thing which we've omitted to talk about during the course of the show was the new Windows Thin PC client, which is available now. Well, actually, it's not available just yet. Anyway, announced this week that... actually, it is available to download. Windows Thin PC is a new version of Windows 7 designed specifically for virtual desktop infrastructure customers. What is that, Graham? What's a virtual... desktop infrastructure in less than 30 seconds.
It's where it's like server-based computing. So you have a server where you run all your apps and your programs and so on the server, and it just sends the display out to the client machine.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Terminal services type deal, depending on which age of computing you're from. Yeah.
Okay.
Windows Remote Desktop, yep.
So now you know what Windows Thin PC is.
Yep, Thin PC is the client you run to connect to it. And this is only available for people with commercial-type licenses. So if you've got SA on your Microsoft licenses, you might be able to use this in your business.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Check their website. That's Tech Talk Radio for this week. Thank you, Lena. Thank you, Dr. Ron. Thank you, Dr. Graham. It's been fun. I've enjoyed having Lena back in the studio this week. She makes a world of difference here.
You going to come back again?
Of course.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Send your hate mail to Graham. He got into her this week.
I'll get him back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's all fun and games in here.
Get on Google Plus.
Till next week.
Fair means or foul.
Yeah, come and contact us on Google Plus. Bye for now. See you all.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellist Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Guest panellist is Justin Dunlop. Expert opinion by Adam Turner and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and the world that rebroadcast the show. And a reminder that Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 8682 9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. And don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk chat, and solve your tech issues in the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws, and may not be rebroadcast without approval.